Hi, After Buzzers. You're listening to the Outlander After Show, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, hello, hello. And welcome to the Outlander After Show, Season 2, Episode 13, Dragonfly and Amber. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. That's M-S-E-D-R-I-N-S-N-O-W. And here's my co-host.
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter at M-L-E Beth. And on Instagram at OMG, it's M-L-E.
Yeah. So this is the end.
I'm so sad.
This is the end.
I'm so good. Sad.
I've been waiting for it to be. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Second season, I was kind of like, oh,
yeah,
fell asleep a lot. But this episode was so good. So
amazing.
First thoughts.
Yes. I loved this episode, and I like this song.
Yeah.
I'm gonna miss it. Right. I thought it was a really, really great episode. At first, I was worried that I would, not really like the jumping back and forth with the time. But I thought it was very well done. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like it was too choppy. I just thought it was a very just well-directed episode. Mm-hmm. And of course, seeing Claire, in her time now was really cool to see.
50-year-old Claire.
Yeah.
52.
Yeah, with a couple of gray streaks rocking those.
I'm like, Claire, you know you're going to be much more gray than that. Like, let's be real, 50. it was great to see. The producer told it in a way that was like, oh, okay. So the entire second season is really just a flashback. Mm-hmm. If you go from how we started, where we're beginning in 1946. Yeah, because they're in 1746 in the past.
Yeah,
it's been 3 years. So
So she's in when they first start.
It starts in 1946, going into 1947, mm-hmm. which is also 1746 into 1747.
Yeah.
So we start there, and I guess originally in the book, it's mainly told with them going through the 60s and reflecting on the past, whereas they decided to start in the 40s and then focus on the past.
Yeah.
The first half, pretty much all of the season, and then go into the 60s, the very last episode. I thought that was a much better choice, because I can't say I particularly cared for Brianna that much. If I'm being real, like, I don't think I would want to deal with a full season of that so quickly.
Yeah, like, I gotta ease into it.
She won me over by the end, but
No, I kind of felt the same way. I was excited to meet that character and to see Roger grown up. I'm excited to kind of see where their characters are going to go. But yeah, as somebody who obviously loves Claire and Jamie, it was hard for me to watch Brianna just bash Claire, for the majority of that episode. And so yeah, she won me over at the end, though, too.
Exactly.
But at first I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna like this.
And strangely, as an American, hearing the American accent be introduced into Outlander, I was like, ugh.
It sounded weird, right?
This sounds so weird. Like, she sounds so strange compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
I don't believe her, which speaks a lot to what people probably think of us. Anyways, it's just starting off, we do start with 1968, and Roger is giving a eulogy for the Reverend.
Yes.
Who has recently passed.
Yes.
We also discover that Frank is passed. So this was a completely, it's been a kind of a Tobias Menzies free season, but this was completely Tobias Menzies free episode, like not even really a reference to Blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
So what were your thoughts on that?
That shocked me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know kind of how they were going to introduce that when we saw Claire come in, and I knew just from seeing, on social media, Brianna and Roger. So I knew that it was her and Jamie's child, and I didn't know how they were going to kind of introduce Frank and the fact that they didn't, that he passed. And I don't know if it's talked about in the books how he died, but I don't think they mentioned it.
I thought it was a heart attack.
Oh, was it?
I mean, I know the Reverend died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
But my assumption was how they dealt with the death, that it was a maybe I heard something in passing that he died in a heart attack.
So that was kind of shocking to me. I wasn't expecting to have him already
gone.
But I guess that makes sense for Claire's character to
yeah.
go back if she needs to.
She has nothing really holding her back now.
Right. So, yeah. So that was very interesting to me. But I liked how they kind of picked up at that same house that we already knew mm-hmm. and recognized. You know, mm-hmm. I liked that because it was such a huge time jump, it still felt familiar
yeah.
because we'd been there before, you know? So I liked that.
Yeah, it was nice to see that. I didn't know who Roger was for a split second because mm-hmm. I was kind of like, why? And then he said the Reverend, and I caught on to that. I was also very impressed with myself because yeah. I understood everything he said without closed captioning. Sometimes I struggle a bit with the Scottish accent, but he was very clear.
Yes.
So it was nice to see that kind of introduction. I also was curious because he did bring up, and then we confirmed it later, that Roger was a McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean, like Brianna's, like, his cousin?
I guess. Well, Dougal, Jamie's relation to Dougal. Uncle. Yeah.
So technically they're, like, I guess. Cousins.
But, like, a long, like, seven generations past or whatever they said had been.
Sure.
So, like, we'll give them that.
A little bit weird. But once I kind of realized that, I was like, yeah. okay, well, yeah. we'll see how that goes. But we see that the Reverend has passed and that's why they've returned to give respect to the Reverend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in terms of whatever Brianna brings up later in the episode, I think that's only Claire's intention is to give respect yeah. to this man who was a big part of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of see them go on this journey of Brianna being kind of aware of something going on between her parents yeah. in Scotland. And I wasn't aware that it had been 3 years. For some reason, I thought it had only been like two. But that makes sense. If we see the third year played out in season two, then it has been 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. When you brought up that she knew that something was going on with yeah. Claire, that part really kind of surprised me when they said that she'd never been close to Claire, or she felt like she never felt like she could really
talk to her mom,
mm-hmm. which surprised me because every time we've seen Claire kind of take on that motherly role with like Fergus,
yeah.
she's so hands on and invested. And it makes sense. I get it. The fact that she, you know, had this life that she couldn't really talk to anybody about.
Yeah.
I mean, so I understand why she'd be kind of removed, but that kind of shocks me that she and Brianna were not as clear as, you know, I thought that they would have been.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was interesting to hear that from her as well, because I would think that Frank would be the one more removed, just
yeah.
Knowing that Brianna's not really his daughter, and then also right. knowing, genetically speaking, he's not inclined to be the friendliest.
Yeah.
Which I did appreciate that she brought up her father having a temper
mm-hmm.
and how hard he worked to control that temper.
Yeah.
Which made me go, oh, okay, well, that's nice to see that they don't take away from the fact that he is a descendant of this
right,
man who's, like,
right.
crazy. And then also Alex, actually being a descendant of Alex as well, mm-hmm. he's more level-headed and calm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and I thought it was interesting how she referenced her father as being the kindest man she's ever known
yeah.
or something like that. And then also how they said they suspended looking into somebody's past because he wasn't the man that they thought he was,
well,
which
was
obviously
Frank.
Yeah.
Frank told the Reverend that he no longer wanted to look into him because
yeah.
he's just not the man he thought he was. And that
right.
that speaks to Claire saying, like, this is what I experienced with
yeah.
him. And so it was at least addressed that they did talk about the past.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not Frank really wanted to hear it, it was addressed that Black Jack was
right.
like this awful man.
Right.
So that was nice to hear as well.
Yeah.
So Roger spots Brianna, and he's like all about Brianna
yes.
the moment he sees her.
I know.
Avoiding people at his father's wake, being like, shut up, shut up,
yeah.
shut up. I want to get to this beautiful woman. And he realizes that she is Claire's daughter.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't really remember Claire, but then kind of like is stirred to remember.
Right.
And plays it very cool. It's like, oh, you're going to go all the way back
to
London in a pub. Stay here. It's so nice.
Yeah.
And they stay, like, for a few days.
It's
not like they, like, oh, okay, we'll stay the night. They stay,
yeah.
Like, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Enough to get to know the country.
Yeah.
And he takes her to, is he a teacher at Oxford? Or he's studying to become a professor at
I
Oxford?
I think he was studying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he mentioned that, but they're not at Oxford, because that's in London. But he takes her to
mm-hmm.
the local college. Mm-hmm. I almost called it Trinity, but that's Ireland, and I'm not that big of a jerk. I'm sorry. But takes her to a local college and says, you know, well, we can definitely look through my father's journal and, uh-huh. and figure out what happened between your mom and your father when they were here. And I guess I'm just going to stick with the future, and then we can jump back, because the past wasn't as big of a story this yeah. episode. And while there, uh-huh. she hears a woman speaking, uh-huh. talking about the rebellion, the Jacobite rebellion, and how Scotland needs us to stay proud and nationalism. And, mm-hmm. and that voice sounds so familiar, and we see that it is Gillis, a.k.a. Jillian Eckers.
Yes, yeah.
talking about wanting to bring back Scotland to its Scottish pride.
Yeah.
Talking about going to the tale of the white roses,
the white roses.
Yeah. And so they get a flyer from her, and we know that the 60s is when Gillis goes back.
Yeah.
So we are to assume that this is the episode, or this is the time where she does go back.
Right.
And we learn a lot about who she is, and that she's married, and
yeah.
to an alcoholic.
Yeah,
it is assumed.
I would make that assumption.
Yeah,
yeah.
He just seems really sad because she's been gone for weeks.
Yeah, that's what I got kind of confused at that part. I thought that when he said she's been gone for 3 weeks, I thought she'd already left through the stones. But so apparently she's just been going around.
She's just.
Kind of obsessed with this. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like it, based on her journals and how much she kind of had thought in thought process. And so I'm wondering how she found out about that, about this whole time travel and going through the stones and all this, you know, because she had these books on them and, you know, formulas.
I guess an old wives' tale for some time. Because even when Claire first arrived there back in the 40s, she was told that the stones had like magical powers from the lady who had now passed away. I can't remember her name. So it's been a theory. And if you think about it, even if she had heard the story of Claire, because what they had originally said about Claire's disappearance is that she had been taken by fairies.
Yeah.
You know? So it was kind of assumed that she had just disappeared and then reappeared.
Right.
So that would probably be, and that would also speak to Gillis having an idea of who Claire was when she first met her.
Yeah.
So of her seeming like a woman out of her time, regardless of her having the smallpox shot or not. Like,
right.
Okay, this is obviously a woman who's like behaving differently. And maybe she knew the story of Claire before she left.
Or and had seen like the photos.
Exactly.
Of, yeah.
Which is fascinating to think about, that Gillis always knew who Claire was.
Yeah.
And I was hoping they would meet
Me
this
too.
Episode.
So
that
I thought
would be
they
confirmed.
Were. Yeah, I thought they were going to meet this episode. It was. I was surprised that they never really got to do a face to face. But yeah, it was so good to have her back. I'm a fan of her character, you know. So I was glad to have her back. Even the small portion that she was in this episode,
and she did play a part in the Jacobite Rebellion.
Yep,
in a way.
I know. Yeah.
In a way.
Yes.
And I guess to kind of jump back real quick to the past, mm-hmm. we see that it is the day of the Battle of Culloden, and Prince Stuart is being Prince Stuart, mm-hmm. and mark me, and blah, blah, blah. He only said it once. I still wanted to slap him the moment he said it. I like, oh, God. Just
Yeah.
He's like, you're like St. Thomas, and I don't know. He made some religious reference to Jamie.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, don't do that.
Just stop.
Shh. Be quiet. You don't have to, like, we know how this goes. And you think you're great and you're not. And you fail. But it's seeing that and then jumping forward to seeing mm-hmm. Claire stand with the wax figure of Prince Stuart and be like, well, he wasn't that tall. He was a fool and an idiot. And it's so sad that he has all this like acclaim now because he didn't know what he was doing. It was funny to see that kind of parallel of like what we saw of him and what came to be known of
him. Right, yeah.
So when they realize that there's no way to avoid the battle, Claire is like, let's kill him.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that it took her this long to get to that thought.
Yeah, I guess desperate times call for desperate measures, I guess.
They could have killed this guy back in Paris. Like, let's be real, so many times.
Well, and I think Jamie and Claire both honestly believe that they were going to be able to change the outcome. You know, it seems like everything that their entire lives revolved around this, obviously, because it was like a death sentence, or so they thought. Mm-hmm. But I really think that they believed they were going to change it. And so there was no reason for them to kill Prince Stuart because they were like, you know what, we're going to change it anyway and things are going to be fine. But yeah, once she kind of says, you know, I have yellow jasmine, let's kill him, and Jamie's on board, I thought like,
what's funny is that he wasn't really on board. He was just discussing it in detail to kind of be like, how would this really work? Yeah. I don't know if this is a good idea, but let's talk about it.
Yeah. He was surprised, but I think he was like ready to go through with it. You know, I think he would have been, I think if Dougal had not come in and interrupted it, I think Claire would have talked him into making it happen.
When Dougal was listening in, that felt a bit contrived to me because it was a little too convenient to push a story forward. And this may have happened in the book as well, but just the whole idea of him listening in and like, and I mean, it is Dougal, so of course he wouldn't listen to reason, but his response to it and just refusing to hear Jamie out. And Jamie has done things that are in both of their best interests, but he's rarely steered them completely wrong. And so I was surprised that he wasn't at least willing to hear him out.
The reaction of both Dougal and Rupert and how they were so just like, you know, you're dead to me for different reasons, obviously. But that was shocking to me. But I think with Dougal, I feel like it had been just building this tension between Jamie and Dougal for so long, you know. And I think, you know, when he said, you know, you're tired, you're hungry, because I think it's quickly after when, you know, Dougal's like doing all that scouting and came back. Yeah. And I think, I mean, obviously shocking that Dougal's like, oh, I heard you say this, I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. But I felt like it was just kind of like a volcano that erupted. Yeah. Like he was holding on to all of this tension. And finally it was like,
lost his brother.
Yeah. And it was like a reason.
And he did overhear Claire say that she gave Colin the yellow jasmine that he used to kill himself, which is like a mortal sin. And they you know, assume he's like going to burn in eternal hellfire for that.
Yeah.
So I can see him being frustrated. I was not expecting Dougal to take that like he did.
Yeah.
This episode. But it makes sense now because now we don't have to worry about her coming back.
And marrying him.
And Jamie being dead and marrying Dougal. So it's great.
I know. Somebody said a couple weeks ago on one of the YouTube comments, they were like, don't worry, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, thank you. So,
because I don't want to see that happen.
I don't have to worry about that. Yeah.
There's other stuff that I'm probably going to see that's going to make me sad. But, so that's where we are in the past. So Dougal is confronting Jamie and he's about to kill him. We jump back to the future. I love any time in my life where I get to see Back to the Future. I love it so much. And we see that Brianna, in her quest for the truth, discovers that her mother had been missing for 3 years and that she was born in November in 1948. Mm-hmm. Yes, because we're already in 47 when she returns. And the time confuses me. She had been born November 1948, but her mother returned in April of 1948. I think those are the dates she said.
Yeah.
So she knows that there's no way she can possibly be Frank's child, and she wants to know what's the dealio.
Yeah.
I just felt like rhyming right then. But so Roger, being incredibly level-headed, talks her down from just, like, not hearing her mother out and says, like, well, you said you want the truth no matter what, so let's hear what she has to say.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's fantastical. And who in their right mind would believe that your mom touched a stone and went back to 200 years before and, like, slept with a really gorgeous, sexy Scotsman and then came back to save herself from, like, a vicious war. So I can't blame her, though it was grating to hear her, like, you know, just beat up her mom about it.
Yeah. You know, the whole time that was happening, one, love Roger, loved how, like, just like you said, level-headed and just, you know, looking at all sides of the story. You know, I really liked his character. Frustrated with Brianna's character that she was just going to town on her mom, but I guess maybe the fact that they've never really been close kind of just boiled over. But I was trying to put myself in that situation, you know, when she's like just going to town on her mom. I'm like, if you were in that situation and your mom said this to you, you know, how would you kind of take that? How would you perceive it? And yeah, it's like you want to believe them, but at the same time, it's like so crazy what you're hearing.
Exactly.
But I thought she was a little harsh on her, you know.
And it was a bit tough, like when she says, "Like I wish you had died." And
yeah,
I was
that
like, whoa,
part.
Hello.
It's like I understand if you were, if you kind of feel like your whole life was a lie, you know, and so you're upset. I get that. But yeah, when she made that reference, too bad it wasn't you. That's the dead one, you know. I'm like, that was a little like,
tough.
Let's pump the brakes, Brianna. And like, you know,
I did like the one of the first shots when they go back to. The castle where Jamie was whipped and almost hung. And she's standing there where her father had been, like, beaten by Black Jack Randall.
And she gets the chills.
Her great-great-great-great-great uncle, essentially. Great-great. And just, like, the chills that she feels about it. It was so beautiful. The only thing that was weird about Brianna, really, was the fact that she wasn't a natural redhead. And that distracted me a lot.
Oh, you know, I didn't pick up on that.
Because her hair was too auburn to be like a natural.
Yeah, and being someone who is a natural redhead, I didn't pick up on that. I wonder if, you know, maybe they were, you know, trying to get it closer to Jamie's color. I don't know.
But Jamie's color is more like yours. It's just dirty right now. It's been dirty all season, let's be real.
Yeah. He's been in the trenches. And,
So that was, I was kind of like,
yeah.
A redhead is a redhead, even if their mom's a brunette. So that was, anyways, a side note. Huh. But yeah, it was beautiful to see that kind of reflection of her, like, touching on the past and not realizing that, you know, she's so closely linked to that past.
Right.
So there's a lot of long driving with Claire on her own this episode. And she goes to visit the Battle of Culloden, and she sees Claire Frazier, and she's able to say goodbye to Jamie, finally, you know, after all these years of not going to Scotland.
Yeah.
And she, you know, of course, after that, she's confronted by her daughter, and how does, I forget how she ends up running, discovering the Gillis. She sees the flyer.
The flyer, yeah, because Brianna brought all of the, you know, the paper of all the stuff she found about Claire. And I guess that flyer was just kind
was part of it.
With her stuff and threw it down. And then she saw Gillis or Jillian.
Jillian.
Which I thought it was interesting that it was G on both, even with Jillian was spelled with G with Gillis. So I thought that was kind of cool how they, I guess, sort of linked it.
She probably changed it because Jillian may not be.
Yeah.
Maybe
known back then
English name versus a Scottish.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was nice to see her make that connection and go in search of her and discover like her life here.
Yeah.
It's just so funny because for some reason it reminded me of like 12 Monkeys where, I don't know, I might spoil 12 Monkeys. Not the TV show, the movie, but like he realizes that when he goes back, he's trying to stop this guy who shoots up in an airport. I'm totally this is wrong. This is like from a 20-year-old memory. But he realizes that he was the guy that he saw as a child.
Oh,
so he's walking through an airport and he sees this guy and they think he has a bomb. He doesn't have a bomb. He's like trying to save the world. But he ends up getting gunned down and he sees it as a child. And when you get to the end of the movie, you realize the guy gunned down was him as an adult.
Interesting.
Cool little time travel stuff. Yeah. So it's kind of cool to see Claire be faced with Gillis and the time she knows where she's going to go back.
Right.
I really wanted them to see each other. But anyways, so to jump back to the past, Jamie, with the help of Claire, kills Dougal.
That was crazy. I kind of knew that something was going down with Dougal's character because I'd seen some talking on Twitter, you know, to Graham McTavish. And so I'm like, okay, I think his time is limited. But I did not think it was going to be that way.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to die on the battlefield, like saving Jamie or something. You know, I didn't think it was going to be Claire and Jamie. that killed him. But obviously, Jamie and Claire did not have any other choice, you know? So it was, that was a little strange to me. And I guess going back to Rupert, too, and how they're just so tied in on this loyalty that even if they see or hear one thing that would go against that, it's like, you're dead to me. Like, there's
He killed the leader of, essentially now, the leader of the McKenzie clan. So.
But he didn't even have any explanation as to, like, what was going down. He didn't know that the leader was trying to kill him. So
it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. It's just crazy. That's really weird. But yeah, I was not expecting Claire and Jamie to team up and just drive that dagger through his heart.
Well, the whole season, we had talked about how darker Jamie and Claire had gotten and, like, would they be led to eventually murdering someone, like when they were plotting in France against the prince and all the things. And even right before Dougal walked in, Jamie said, you do realize that what we're talking about is cold-blooded murder. Yeah. And yeah, Dougal was trying to kill Jamie. And it was self-defense. But, like, once Claire helped shove the sword, like, they could have knocked him out. You know, they could have, like, tied him up. They could have, like, tried to be like, listen to us. But once she hopped on that sword with Jamie, it was like, this is cold-blooded murder.
Yeah, and I felt so bad for Jamie in that moment. You know, they showed that shot of Dougal, you know, laying, dying, and then Jamie's face just kind of like in shock almost. Like, oh my God, that just happened. Yeah. I know, that was really sad. And I feel like so much was going on in this episode that we didn't really linger on his death or anything. It was like, it happened, he's like, give me 2 hours to Rupert, and then we're back on something else. Like, it was kind of weird. Like,
we gotta go.
I thought, you know, there wasn't a big kind of like mourning time for them or for us, you know, to say bye to Dougal.
To be fair, I don't really mourn Dougal. I felt more like how Murtaugh felt when he
Can I just say, he's my favorite character now. I loved that reaction. Like, he was like, why? I'm surprised it took you this long.
Exactly.
Like, okay, what do I have to do? You know? Like,
what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
favorite
of course
character.
He's dead.
I love him.
Of course
him.
He is.
Yeah.
I was so relieved that his reaction wasn't like, oh.
Yeah.
How could you? It was like, okay, so.
Yeah, cool.
What do we do now?
Next. Yeah.
and we see Claire go back and get the deed to Lallybroch. And we find out when she signed that document, which is in that moment. And how long was Jamie carrying this around?
I know, like a year. She said it was dated like a year.
1745.
Where is he storing that?
What's happening? You're just ready. Should something bad go down, I'm going to give over my deed to my nephew.
Yeah.
And Fergus was the one. So we know Fergus at least survived the Battle of Culloden to get back and give them that letter. And that's, like, the last document they had of Lallybroch.
Right.
And to see it, like,
awful. Yeah. I know. And when she's sitting on the stoop and she sees Jamie. Ugh.
And all his handsomeness.
I know.
And roguishness.
I know. Yeah. That was sad. That was really kind of hard to see. And just the fact that it's not being kept up, that nobody is living there, that it's just deserted, you know?
It just kind of fell away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chained up, but,
keep out sign. So, once Jamie realizes that he's pretty much on the run and that he has no allies anymore except for Murtaugh and Fergus, he decides, okay, well, you have to go back to the stones. Yeah. I mean, they could have had more patience. They could have waited some stuff out.
Yeah.
They could have just deserted and not gone to the Battle of Culloden, but whatever.
Yeah.
He decides to take her back to the stones. And so we cut back to the present.
Mm-hmm.
And Claire's gotten a hold of Jillian's paper.
Yeah.
And she realizes that she's probably going to try and go back tonight. And that she believes that there has to be a human sacrifice in order for her to do so.
Yeah.
Which I was like, whoa, that's insane.
Just killing her husband, like nobody's business. Like, hey, no big deal. Second time, right? Because didn't she
kill her first husband? Or her second husband.
Maybe that's where she got the idea.
Right?
She's like, I've done this before.
She's like, I know how to do this. No big deal. I'll just poison him and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Which I kind of feel like she did to her first husband. After he passed out, I feel like she might have poisoned him and dragged his body out and then set it on fire.
Probably.
Which would be crazy.
Well, and I wonder where that came from, the human sacrifice thing, you know, because Claire made it apparent when she was, after Brianna's like, oh my God, this is real, and, you know, and Claire's mm-hmm. like, nobody was dead when I went through.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking, well, was somebody and she just didn't know? Like, where is this human sacrifice coming from? Like, is Galish just...
I think it was just something added. It's kind of like that meatloaf story that, you ever heard that?
No.
Like, well, Mom, why do you cut your meatloaf? And like you... I'm going to tell this thing. So there's a story of like this daughter calls her mother and she's making, get the meatloaf recipe. And the mother says, oh, and at the end you got to cut off the sides of the meatloaf once it's cooked. Okay. And she goes, well, Mom, why do I have to do that? I don't know. That's how my grandmother always did. So she, or her mother always did. So she calls her mom. Mom, why do you do this? I don't know. That's what my grandma always did. So she calls her mom, though that's not really real.
Yeah.
And the great grandmother says, oh, it's because the oven, the pan couldn't fit the full meatloaf. So I had to cut it off the sides before I cooked it. So it's kind of like that thing of like some crazy person
said it.
Probably accidentally killed somebody right before they passed through the stone. And then I became a part of it.
Yeah. Like, wrote it down before you go. Kill somebody.
You have to sacrifice someone you love or don't love. So that's kind of how I feel like. I don't think it was something that actually happened.
Yeah.
Because Claire didn't need it. Mm-mm. Didn't she accidentally step back? She touched the stones and like stepped back for a minute and then stepped back in.
Am I crazy? Like when she first went through?
Yeah.
I don't remember her doing that, but maybe. Maybe it's been so long.
It's
and
been
I
a
watched
while, yeah.
like six episodes in a day. So yeah. I don't even remember.
Yeah. But I don't think human sacrifice is a part of it.
Yeah.
So she gets Roger. Roger convinces Brianna to just hear her mother out and just see where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And I love Roger because, one, he's Scottish and Scots are amazing. And, two, I loved when Claire was like, he has a nice physique.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, good on you, girl.
I know.
Good on
you.
Like, 50 doesn't
even
mean
Brianna
anything.
Was like, what? That's like, just stop. Like, who says that?
I mean, he does have a nice physique, but... he's just such a great guy.
Yeah.
He kind of does remind me of Frank in that way. Mm. Of just being like what seems like a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
So I hope we get to see more of him.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll go back in time with him.
Yeah.
That'd be really weird, but it'd be cool.
Yeah.
So she convinces him to go and stop Galus. Galus?
Jillian.
Yeah. I'm going to say Jillus now.
Yeah.
From killing her husband. Way too late. His body's already on fire, already to a crisp.
Charred, yeah.
And I just really like the parallel of in that moment where they're running up to the rock.
Mm-hmm.
We see Jamie dropping off Claire mm-hmm. at the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And he says some really beautiful things for her and then like immediately takes her.
Yeah. I don't, you know.
That's kind of like, whoa.
That threw me at first. Like, I honestly started getting a little, like, teary-eyed. Like,
yeah.
The whole goodbye scene. I'm like, oh, my God, this is, like, so heart-wrenching.
And they quote their vows to each other,
yeah.
I think.
And
yeah.
It's like, I, you know, every time I'm watching the show, I'm trying to put myself in certain situations. And I'm like, I can't even imagine if you knew that you were essentially, like, saying goodbye to somebody forever. And not just somebody,
and
like, the love of your life. And you are pregnant, and you're saying goodbye forever. Like, that's...
And
crazy.
It was adorable that he knew she was pregnant.
I know.
Because he was keeping track.
I know.
It was like, oh, he's keeping track.
It was so cute. And I love how he even said to Frank, he said, well, for her to tell Frank, he said, tell him I'm grateful and I trust him. And I thought that was so kind of like, almost like passing the torch in like a really kind of weird but sweet way. But yeah, so I'm all getting teary-eyed and like, oh, this is so emotional. I can't imagine. And then they just go on down on the floor and start getting it on. And
I mean,
I'm
this
like,
is Outlander. Let's be real.
I know. But for a second, I was kind of like.
Yeah, for a second, I was
now
like,
now I'm out of the moment.
Oh,
like, yeah, it was.
Okay.
And then it was done quick. And then it was back to emotional. Like, it was, that was kind of.
I mean, that's kind of their thing as well.
Yeah, that's
passionate
true.
Passionate sex.
But yeah, that was,
but it was a bit shocking.
Yeah,
in that moment.
Yes.
Yeah, it was nice to see though that even all these years later, she still had his ring on.
Yeah,
the
Which and I've noticed she's kept both. You know, Frank's and
she's
and
like
Jamie's
kind of
the whole time.
Back
yeah,
and forth.
Depending
yeah.
on who she's with, she's like on this finger and this finger. But yeah,
but it was nice to see that as well.
Yeah,
and when he that one single tear, that like little, I call it the glory tear, which is horrible because that movie is like, that's not, but whatever. Like when he's like putting her hand up to the rock and saying goodbye to her, and we cut to basically her realizing through, which she should have done much sooner, is just go to Scotland. Even when she was there, she could have found out that Jamie was alive.
Yeah. And I you know, it seems like she didn't know where to look or somebody found something. But I kind of feel like, though,
pretty easy for Roger.
Well, but I think with her, she had said in the beginning of the episode, she, like, forgot about him. You know, like Frank
said. She chose to forget.
Yeah, she chose not to dig. Like, Frank said, okay, you got to stop doing this. Mm-hmm. And she stopped and put it into it, you know? So.
But she had 200 years to look it up.
Yeah.
And he found it in, like, a day.
I know. But I think she stops searching.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand it. But so hot. Why would you leave? Why would you never go back? I would run.
Well, that's why at the very end, when she's like, oh my God, he's still alive. Yes. I thought she was going to run. I thought she was going to be like, bye, Felicia.
And
like,
right? Just bye. Bye. Just here. Daughter, come with me.
Run into the stone. Yeah.
Yeah. So when Roger tells her that, you know, he escaped execution and that he was the one that made it. He was the only Scotsman leader who made it. Then she realizes and her, like, eyes are welling in the sunlight. And she's I can go back to him. We can go back.
Yeah.
And that's how we end it.
Yeah.
So but I'm so excited to see. I mean, I'm excited and not excited because I know he's going to be married to that little.
No, Larry, don't tell me that.
I don't know that, but that's my assumption.
Yeah, you know, I liked how they ended it with Brianna believing her and seeing that.
Believed.
I thought when they were going to show up, I thought Galus was already going to be through.
Yeah, it would have been too hard.
And Brianna was going to be like, "Why did you bring me here with this burning body?" Like, what, you know? So I'm glad that she was able to see right before. You know, that was very convenient timing. But I'm glad it worked out for them. But and then I thought it was sweet how she said to Claire at the end, she said, only the truth from now on. And yeah, Jamie and like Claire said that to each other after he told her. So I thought that was, I loved how they kind of tied that back in. And, you know, but yeah, it was really cool to see Claire now. And I'm a little surprised that she wasn't thriving and like doing, I mean, as far as thriving, like personally, you know, like, yeah, she was successful and she was a surgeon, she's all this surgeon kind of stuff. Yeah.
In the 60s awesome. As a woman.
But it felt like she was just still very like, just removed from like reality and from time and from the present, I guess, is what kind of shocked me.
Well, I think when she talks about how he was the love of her life.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to all my ex-boyfriends right now. I have yet to meet the love of my life. And so I couldn't imagine meeting the love of my life, having three exciting and crazy years with him where just like I get to live in the past and wear pretty dresses. I'm not that girly, but you know, I like have all these adventures.
Yeah.
And just have it be gone like within a split second. And then back to 1940s and whatever that means. So I can understand her. Oh, I lost where I was going with that. But
just like how she was removed.
Just kind of removed from it because it's just like you had all this and you lost it. And no matter how great and how forward movement we've had in between the 1940s and 1960s, should I be thinking of that time where she got to live in a different world and be with this man?
Oh, for sure. And the fact that you can't really discuss it. You know, you're kind of stuck with your own thoughts and memories. But it was jarring to see her character like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in Scotland time, she's always been so present and so in the moment and, like, taking charge. And so it was very shocking to see her character just completely, like,
removed.
Opposite from that. You know, it was interesting to see the two times. And then to see how she lit up. When she realized, I can go back. You know, it's like, that's where she wants to be.
I'm just so surprised she never at least attempted.
Yeah.
But I guess they moved to the U.S. and that was pretty much it.
Yeah. And Frank was like, done.
And we're done. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that, should we get into predictions?
Whenever it comes back on.
Whenever it comes back.
Yeah. It's hard to kind of look that far into the, well, mm-hmm. you know what, April, whenever it comes back April, on yeah. again. But I think she's going back, and I think that she's not going to be right back where she left off, kind of thing.
Oh, no.
You know, like, yeah. I don't know how this time travel works. I don't know where it's going to drop her yeah. off or, like, what's going to mm-hmm. happen. But I don't know. It's hard for me to predict things at this point. Like, I'm just glad that they didn't leave us with too many cliffhangers.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they were going
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Just be like, so, what?
Yeah.
I think how it works is that they go with the years. So she left in 1944 returned, or 1945 returned in 1948.
Mm-hmm.
So she got there in 1744 and returned in 1748,
mm-hmm.
essentially beginning of 1748 or in, I don't know, 1745. So if it's been 20 years for her,
it's been 20 years for Jane. That's going
to
be crazy.
And that's what we're going to return to is her 20 years later.
Yeah.
Probably. Jamie with family.
No.
With that Minx.
No, he's going to. He's waiting for Claire to come yeah. back.
So I think I wish, but I think that's how we're going to end up. And I think, mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of know because Wikipedia is awful and I read one sentence.
Don't tell me.
You know too.
Okay, go.
The daughter will go back with her.
Okay.
But I hope Roger goes back with him. I think that'd be
Roger
really fun
needs
to
go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
So
yeah, that would be fun to see. Yeah. All
but
it'd
be nice to have someone on the other side, like kind of holding the fort down, like that's making true. Sure that they can come back.
Come
easily.
Back when. Yeah.
So that's kind of where I think it's going to go, and I think we're going to just be in Scotland 20 years later with them living in the UK, no longer just Scotland, and yeah. how that affects them and how they think about it, to play with the historical aspect of it as well.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I hope we kill the Minx, like, within episode two. I mean, what's her name?
Leary.
I just call her the Minx. But yeah, if we can kill her immediately, that'd be great.
Yeah. Okay, that'll be the plan.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, well, I think that about wraps it up for yes. this season of Outlander.
I know.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please, as always, rate, subscribe, YouTube, iTunes, other stuff that people do that I can't think of right now. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. As always, I am Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow.
And I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter at MLE Beth and on Instagram at OMG It's MLE.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's been a fun season. Yes. You guys have been great fans.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. And we will see you next year.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.